The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, this morning, homeless charity DePaul launches its 2024 impact report, a year in which they say came with stark challenges. It saw them support nearly 10,000 people across the island of Ireland without an immediate increase in public housing supply. They warn of a continuing increase in both the scale and complexity of need across the entire island, from homelessness itself to rising levels of mental health challenge, addiction and trauma, all of which result in fewer and fewer people being able to successfully exit homelessness. David Carroll is CEO of DePaul and he's with me now in studio. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You'd describe it as a challenging year.
I'd say probably challenge is an understatement, really, of the, I suppose, the amount of trauma and I suppose, challenge that individuals and households that we're providing services for have had. Mm. We provided services for over 10,000 people in 42 services across the country, both accommodation and also community as well.
So, I'll talk to you about your precise operation now in a moment and what you do. But first of all, there is still confusion in the public mind about the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and DePaul. Yeah. What's the difference?
Well, we're very different organisation. We're totally separate. DePaul is now the second biggest provider of homeless services on the island. We have a relationship with the St. Vincent de Paul, but we're actually specialise in the provision of homeless services.
But when you say you have a relationship, what is the nature of that relationship? Do you have kind of a common board or common founders?
The St. Vincent de Paul were part of the reason why we came to Ireland in the first place, because we specialise in homelessness. And actually, 5 years ago, the society passed on their temporary accommodation to us in Cork.
So without asking you to plug their activities, what do they do that you don't do and what do you do that they don't do?
Well, they would, I think they're now concentrating really on the alleviation of poverty within the community.
So family support.
Family support. With ourselves, we very much specialise on those people who, to prevent homelessness in the community, but also as well, temporary accommodation and accommodation. And obviously, finding homes for people as well in the long term.
Now, what do you have yourselves in terms of accommodation? I mean, do you have permanent homes that people will stay in for the rest of their natural? Or do you have temporary accommodation and you hope to move them on into, say, local authority housing or private housing?
Yeah, exactly. We actually now run 650 temporary accommodation beds in Cork, Dublin, the South East and Longford. And actually, we're a cross-border organisation as well. So we have 11 services in Northern Ireland. But also what we provide as well are community-based services where we go into private emergency accommodation to support people to move on, but also as well, we provide housing first in Meath and Dublin, which is a wraparound service for people who have the most complex needs in order to be able to maintain them in their community settings. And that's hugely important in order to make sure that people aren't stuck in temporary accommodation for the rest of their life. And as you say, Pat, the ultimate aim is to move people into their long-term homes.
But you don't have long-term homes.
We do. Oh, we actually have a small housing body specialising on that very niche group of single homeless people with entrenched and complex needs, either from a mental health, criminal justice or drugs and alcohol point of view.
Now, you also have interactions with people. I mean, you have a word, I think, for about key working sessions, 50,000 of those or more. Last year. What are they?
It's remarkable that 50,000 interventions of direct involvement with people occurred in 2024. And that was a significant increase. And what we do is that we deal with people's problems. We make plans with them in order to move them on. But what we have actually found is that the complexities and the challenges that we're actually facing on the ground are going through the roof. So for instance, there's been a continued rise in the amount of people who have self-harmed or who have suicidal ideation. big part of our work as well is to, within our single homeless accommodation as well, is to be able to support people with drug and alcohol difficulties. And that sometimes can be challenging as well, because people may encounter issues such as overdose. But the ultimate kind of goal for us and objective is to progress people with their lives and ultimately move them on into long-term accommodation.
Now, we know that the Peter May Ferry Trust got into trouble, really, because it expanded too fast. It became too large, really, for the administration that was running it, and they had other problems as well. Is yours a professionally run, professionally staffed organisation, or is it volunteers?
No, I mean, our governance structures and are second to none. We have a board of trustees who all come from professional backgrounds, a set of committees that run the organisation, but we also have a professional executive team covering all of the key areas around financial management, around service management. And ultimately, you know, our board have really, really strong oversight around the development and growth of the organisation. Because I think you're absolutely right. I think in the current environment, when there's so much demand and so much need, you may be tempted to stretch yourself in order to meet that need. DePaul do not do that. We take a very measured approach to how services are developed, despite, I suppose, demands from the cohort and the service user group that we work
with. But in your report, you refer to an increase in the number of volunteers. So that's why I'm asking you about that element of it, the people who volunteer versus the professional cohort.
Yeah, I mean, I think volunteers are hugely important for us. And when, you know, people think about volunteers, they might think about, you know, giving soup out on the street. No, we have volunteers coming from the IT sector who give us advice around our IT systems. We obviously, our board are all volunteers.
Yeah.
They give us obviously huge governance support. And then we have the people within our services. My own son is a volunteer in a hostel in Belfast where he's supporting a young person who comes from a Somalian refugee background. So Our volunteers are a huge part, over 250 volunteers, which was an increase from last year. And I think the public want to give back, and that approach is hugely important for us as well.
Now, you say that the challenges will remain and will multiply if there's no more government support for housing. But every time we have someone who's dealing with the housing crisis for people who are homeless, people who are in hotel accommodation and so on, what is the solution? I mean, they can't magic up these planning permissions. They can't magic up social housing in 6 months or a year. It takes far longer than that.
I worry, Pat, though, that we're becoming anaesthetised to the issue. You know, each time that the figures are announced, I notice that less and less attention is being placed on people with complex needs. We have to find a way forward. And I think you're right, there's a medium and long-term challenge with regards to the supply of housing. And I think government are trying to absolutely tackle that. But there is an emergency situation, Pat, of 16,000 people in temporary accommodation who need help now.
Where do you get 16,000 units?
Well, this is the challenge. I think what we can do, though, is that we can set ourselves a challenge, particularly around the family homelessness. We have 5,000 children. I think that we should set the objective of reducing that number by 1,000 by the end of the first quarter of next year. How do we do that? I think we allocate the social housing that's coming on board in order to be able to allocate that housing to particularly the longer term families. I think the tenant in situ scheme has been a really constructive perspective. My own view about this is that any family in particular that get notice to quit should be offered the tenant in situ scheme. Government last week also reopened the second hand acquisition of particularly for larger families. we're not going to magic this up, but we need the investment and we need to be able to unblock the blockages that are there in order to bring the housing on board.
Well, the report is out today and it's available online, I presume, for anyone to read.
Absolutely. If you go to the DePaul website, you'll find the impact report. And Pat, you'll see amazing stories of resilience and strength of the people that we work with.
CEO of DePaul, David Carroll, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.